This is the Planning and Development Committee. I'm pinch hitting for Chair Kathy Hogarty. I'm Bernaseel. Councilmember McLeod is with us. And so we'll go ahead and start with the first thing on the agenda, which is an ordinance adopting the new Chapter 2.105 of the TMC, Indemnification of City Employees, Officials, and Volunteers. Oh, Ms. Bianchi. I bet this is you.
Good evening. This is me. Good evening, everyone. For the record, Rachel Bianchi, Deputy City Administrator. As you know, we have a relatively new city attorney who was doing a review of the TMC and noticed that we do not have an indemnification clause in the TMC, which just about every other jurisdiction in the state has an indemnification clause. It's very common. This protects city employees, volunteers, as well as elected officials. You can see here, I'm on page one of your packet, RCW 4.96.041 provides that whenever an action or proceeding for damages is brought against any past or present employee, official, or volunteer of the city arising from acts of omission while performing or in good faith purporting to perform official duties, right, that individual may request the city to authorize defense. So the way that the city attorney, Carrie Sand, explained this when we were just having this discussion is this is a housekeeping item as far as she is concerned. I know, Councilmember Seal, your background in the law, you certainly understand that this is a very common provision for most municipal codes to have in it. I don't know why ours doesn't have in it, but we are looking to rectify this. So I am here to present to you all today, and then I'm going to pop over to the other committee, present to them, with the hope that this would go to consent at the special meeting next week.
Okay. Great. All right. Tom, did you have any questions on this?
The only question, certainly I would before this, I thought I remember hearing when I first came on council that in some decisions a council member could be sued. Like maybe
that is the case.
Then indemnify us?
Yes. That's one reason why you would want this indemnification then, because if you were, if action were brought on against you personally, then this housekeeping item would then allow the city to go ahead and defend you in that litigation.
Okay. Well, I'm all for it. It can go to extra fast consent agenda.
Why, what do you plan on doing, Tom? Kidding! Yeah, I mean, this makes total sense. I was actually kind of surprised that we didn't have this. I mean,
you are not the only one, Councilmember Seal.
I was like, yeah, I've been doing this for 16 years. I didn't know about this, which is, it's interesting. So I don't have any questions. I know this was brought by Carrie. I think that's great. So let's just, I think Tom and I are both in agreement and we're good to go. And I'm sure that Councilmember Hogarty, once this does come up, we'll let her make her own opinion, but as far as I'm concerned, this is fine to go to consent. Okay? So you can go to the other meeting now.
Off I go. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks, all. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks. All right. So then that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is lodging tax funds request. Brandon.
Hello.
Hi.
Can I start with the staff report?
Sure.
Hey, so first, one side thing, I do want to make sure you all saw that you have shirts in your boxes for our new Tequila tourism. So, let me know if you need a different size. Happy to get that. Hey, for the record, again, Brandon Miles, Business Relations Manager, and I manage the city's lodging tax program. What you have tonight before you is a lodging tax funding request from the City of Tequila to fund the COPA, the Northwest COPA Surf Cup in June of 2022 and June of 2023. So if you don't know soccer, this is a massive youth soccer tournament that is held every summer down in San Diego. In the past, what they did is they had a committee, and that committee would decide which teams go. Unfortunately, committees are ripened for accusations of favoritism. They didn't know how to determine how to deal with the Canadian team. So now what they want to do is they're going to have play-in tournaments. And so Starfire Sports will host the Pacific Northwest Copa Cup play-in tournament. So if you win in June, you go down to San Diego. So In talking to the event organizers, we're looking at teams coming in from across Washington State, Oregon, Idaho, Northern California, Montana, and British Columbia. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that those room nights get booked in Tukwila. So what we're proposing is a $25,000 sponsorship per year up to that amount if they are able to generate those room nights. And so what we've been doing lately with these types of activities is a room rebate where we would do anywhere between $5 and $15. We still need to negotiate that. And if they show that they have those room nights, they would get that rebate. We're going to work with Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority on a link that that all the hotels in Tukwila can use to say, hey, I can give 20 rooms at this rate, and then the teams can book directly through that, and it lets us track the actual room nights that are created from this event. So staff is supports it. The Lodging Tax Advisory Committee also recommended approval, and we'd like it to go to next Monday's special meeting consent agenda. Happy to answer any questions the committee members might have.
Great. Thanks, Brandon. Tom, do you have any questions?
No, I think this is excellent. So I'm very happy to support this, and it can also move to the double fast meeting consent agenda.
I love it. The double fast meeting. Yeah, I don't have any questions. I think this is an appropriate use of lodging tax dollars. And you said that the committee, lodging tax board, is fine with it. So works for me. So Tom and I are in agreement then. Let's move this on to the 12-13 special meeting consent agenda.
Good work, Brandon.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Great work. Woo. Go, Brandon.
Well, I will say when I talk about soccer tournaments, let's always remember that the city council in 2003, you know, early 2000, made an investment and a commitment to invest in Starfire Sports. We would not be getting any of this if we did not have the infrastructure.
Right.
So I always want to just remind everyone, we benefit from an investment we made with Starfire Sports over 15 years ago.
That's great. All right. Thank you, Brandon, because I remember that. Because I think that's right when I came on. Right after, it was like the second thing we did. Second year. All right. So then that moves us on. Brandon, you're going to update us then on Wajir?
Yeah, so I'm going to start this off, Madam Acting Chair. If you're all right, I would like to have Forterra take over and do a presentation. You see in your packet that there's a presentation that was done by Forterra. I think it would be good for Forterra to give you an update about what they're about the project. So just real fast, on August 16th, staff provided a briefing to Planning and Community Development Committee on the Wajir project, which is located at 14110 Tukwila International Boulevard. This is the old Knights Inn property. That project, so Forterra has requested entering into a development agreement with the city of Tukwila. That development agreement would address a variety of issues kind of coming up with the development. We've used development agreements in the past for Tukwila South, for the mall. It's a way to address projects, mainly kind of bigger projects that are unique that don't always fit easily in our code. Development agreements require the approval of the city council. It's like it is a contract between us and the property owner. One of the biggest issues in the development agreement that we're looking at is parking. If you remember, the site, the project is only proposing 69 on-site parking stalls. In my memo that is included in the in your packet from August, discussed some things that we were looking at with Forterra. We are still looking at those items. The reason we're coming back to you tonight is that we made a commitment at that August meeting to give you an update before the end of the year. We want to give you that update. Forterra has been doing a lot of public outreach. Forterra has also looked at the idea of vacating South 141st Street and how that might get us the project some additional parking. So with that, council members, I'd like to turn it over to Rebecca from Forterra.
Great. Thank you, Brandon. Hi, Rebecca.
Thanks, Brandon. Hi, Verna. Councilmember
Seals,
nice to see you.
Yeah,
Councilman DeClose. Hopefully you're not getting feedback from my microphone now. I think I was the culprit earlier. I see that I can't share screens, so I assume that
I can make let me make
yeah.
you a yeah, I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have it
awesome.
In our packet
so
all along too, so.
So while Brandon's kind of seeing if that works, I'll just keep going. So when we came before you in August, as Brandon said, we were really updating you on that development agreement request, which actually dates back to last year in 2020. And as Brandon mentioned, we've requested several things with regard to this development agreement that would help us to achieve the goal of the project, which is to have owner-occupied attainable housing, 100 units of that, mostly family-sized, as well as a very large international marketplace souk on the ground level to help address the displacement among shop owners. So when we came before you in August, you requested of us two different things. One, that we renew our public engagement. We had done a significant amount of public engagement before this year, but we were asked to go back out and to have that discussion and to start to discuss this issue of parking as part of that engagement, and also to look at what options we have on 141st Street if that were to be vacated and how much parking that could include. So our presentation tonight is intended to update you on the outreach that we've done, as well as the options for 141st. And before I launch into that, I do want to mention that also in our audience tonight, we have our engagement partner, Abu Bakr, represented by Mahad Ahmed, the director. He will be speaking to you after I kind of give you this update. And then there's also other members of my team in the audience here if you have any questions with them, including Tobias Levy, who I think you've both spoken with in the past, and Elizabeth Itan and Jan Hurley. Oh, and I see Brandon's going to share it for me.
Yeah, I can't, for some reason, it's not letting me make you, I can't make you a presenter, so I will just go ahead and advance the slides when you need to.
Okay, great. So go ahead to the next slide, Brandon. So this first slide is really just recapping what I just talked about. So our goal here really is to provide those 100 attainable homes at an ownership level that is really unusual, which is to have it be under 100% AMI home ownership, as well as the souk marketplace, which is 15,000 square feet. But to achieve that, we really do need to move forward with this development agreement, and particularly with a waiver of the structured parking requirement and a reduction in the total number of minimum parking that we provide with the project. Next slide. So in our, as I said, in our last time that we appeared before you, we were asked to do two things. I'm going to tell you about that tonight, to complete additional community outreach and to do a study of 141st Street. We've done both those things. Next slide. So this is a recap. Just to remind you all, we had done quite a bit of community outreach in 2019 and 2020. We had one very large open house, and we did a community survey in 2019, and we had actually two virtual meetings, both in English, Somali, and Spanish in 2020. And all of those were really, our purpose was to increase awareness about the project, but also to work with community, and that's how we arrived at this design that we have now. Through the results of that survey and the feedback we got, we really learned that we needed to increase the number of family-sized homes in the project, and that's what you see now. So in our original design, we had studio apartments, for example, but the feedback we got from community was really that the larger 2 and 3 bedrooms were really what was needed. In addition, we changed the design of that ground floor souk marketplace with Abu Bakr's input and community input to make sure that it really met the needs of the businesses. Next page.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go back, Brandon? Can you speak to the line that says preference for displaced businesses in housing sales?
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. So we have put in place, or we will be putting in place, we have done the legal research and background on having a preference for 40 shop owners to get preference in the home ownership buying. So basically what this means is that because there have been so many shop owners who have been displaced especially along Tukwila International Boulevard in the last few years, the law allows us to put a preference in place that gives them first dibs on the sale of homes in the future in this project. And what we hope this will do is create that linkage between the business ownership in the souk as well as the home, so that there can be, the homeowners can also be working in the souk.
I don't have a problem with landing in that place, but how many of these businesses were displaced in SeaTac versus Tukwila?
So it's not going to center in on particular businesses. They have to be business owners in Tukwila or have been displaced from Tukwila.
Yeah, and that's my point. I think probably to make that statement true, a lot of them are displaced in SeaTac, not Tukwila.
Yeah.
I don't know if it matters.
That's true. There were many that were. It's the way that the preference operates, they just have to be business owners, and that's where we go from there. So if they're business owners in the community, then they can have the preference for home ownership.
But is there a legality to being displaced in another city versus Tukwila?
Not that I know of, but I'll look into that and get back to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, as long as we're asking questions, will that clause be built into the developer agreement, or is that outside the developer agreement?
It's not currently part of our development agreement proposal. It would be part of the sales process for the project, but if that were something that the council wanted to request, that we could work that into the development agreement. Brandon has comments.
Yeah. Here's Brandon, and then Councilmember Hogarty has joined us, so I will turn the meeting back over to Kathy.
So one of the things I just want to, mentioned and why we're having these check-ins is to hear stuff like what the counselor is talking about. While Forterra has made requests as to what would be that they would like to see in the development agreement, likewise, the city may want to impose other requirements within the development agreement. The one thing I will say about displacement is ongoing. There could be businesses that have been displaced from other projects or are continuing to be displaced from activities in Tukwila. So
might be also good to hear from Mahad after I present this on what he's hearing, especially since many of his community are those business owners that have been displaced, as to what might best serve the needs of community in that. So one last thing I want to point out from the past outreach that we did is that as a result of that outreach, over 100 community members signed up as interested buyers, both for the housing and the marketplace. So there's a huge amount of interest in this project. Next slide. So more recently, we had two different events. So we actually had a table at the Tukwila Market that was the Spice Bridge anniversary event in October. And at that table, we shared information about Wattagier, about the proposal for the development agreement. We met with community members. We gathered names for those who were going to be interested in the open house or future feedback. And then we had an open house in November where we had about 20 people attend over the course of the event. Brandon was there. Council member Johnson was also there. And I know that Nora came as well. And during that open house and with the Tukwila Marketplace, this was in response really to the request that we reignite that awareness and excitement about Wattagier, but also start to engage in a conversation about the parking proposals that we have and the options. And leading up to both those events, we did direct outreach at staff request to make sure we were really reaching out directly to the neighbors, especially along 42nd, since we anticipated they would have the most questions about parking. And actually, two of those neighbors did come to the open house. We put out about 500 postcards. 370 went out to the address is within 500 feet of Wattagier, and then we also distributed about 100 postcards to Abu Bakr Islamic Center members, and then we also posted the postcard at the public library and sent it out to city council and staff. Next page. So the open house was a really successful event. We had a lot of positive feedback about Wattagier and what we propose to do there and the opportunity it presents to Tukwila. This is, the next few slides are really the posters and the information, some of the information we were giving out. So this gave some information about the project itself. Next slide. We also wanted to emphasize the main key aspects of the project: attainable, it will be beautiful, it will be sustainable. So this really shows the proposed floor plans of the modular element of this project and how beautiful it will be inside, and talks about how many homes there will be. Next slide. This gave more information about the souk and that element, and really started to talk about the site plan and what that looks like. Next slide. Getting at the sustainability, and this was actually the slide that kind of that talks to that modular element with the cross-laminated timber and how that relates to a more sustainable environment. So hopefully you all can see this better in your packet. And if you have more questions about this, we have a lot more information on this element. Next slide. So we created this poster really to get at a deeper discussion about parking. What we really wanted to talk to people about was that, yes, there is a compromise that we're asking for here with regard to parking. We understand that. But that the reason we're asking for that is to provide this benefit, which is attainability, because parking is extremely expensive. And to have structured parking or underground parking for this project would add a cost of about $80,000 per home to the cost of the project, which really takes it out of that affordable range we're trying to target. So we wanted to be able to have this discussion and have it be an honest discussion about what the site plan is, but what the reason we're asking for this is not just to get out of something, but to provide something that's a benefit to the community. Next slide. So at the event, we did have sign-in sheets where people could sign up to support moving forward with the proposed site plan. We got about 37 signatures in support of this. We did have, as I said, two neighbors that came from 42nd Street. They were the ones that, the only ones we talked to really during this event that did have some concerns about parking. I'm confident we can move through those concerns as we, if we can show how this parking would work and how those shop owner, how we can minimize those impacts by utilizing other areas around the neighborhood so that it doesn't contribute to congestion along 42nd. So our goal was to gather this information, to be able to provide it back to you to show that there's support in the community. There is still that support in addition to those over 100 names we have that really want to be part of this project. Councilmember McLeod, did you have a question?
I want to ask, can you just state what the couple concerns were from the people on 42nd?
They were concerned about the impact of parking now on 42nd, people parking in front of their house, and whether it would increase parking on 42nd to have this project here. Frankly, I don't see that as a big conflict because people can't park overnight on 42nd right outside Wattagier now. It's really more likely that additional street parking is going to be on 141st, which is what we'll be talking about in a minute here. So that's what we talked about with them, was that the impacts on 42nd, there might be occasional cars parking there, but more likely they're going to want to be on TIB or on 141st. Next slide. So now we get to the parking options. So in partnership with Abu Bakr, what we've been asking for is flexibility. We understand this is a request that's a departure from your current zoning requirements in return for a benefit we're trying to provide to the community. But what we're trying to do is use all available surface parking to its highest and best use and also to utilize the kind of underparked streets that adjoin this site right now. So, and we want to also make sure that we're encouraging the business owners at that are going to be in the marketplace to live in the building. If that is of benefit to them, that will help minimize that parking use. We've also been in conversation, and Mahad can speak to this, about whether we can share some space with Abu Bakr when they're not in prayer times, when they have lighter use. And that we see there being a lot of overlap between Abu Bakr's membership and especially patronage of the souk space on the ground level. So I think that's a really realistic alternative. The advantages of the plan we propose is that we have done a complete traffic study that shows that this does meet the demand that we anticipate, along with utilizing the underparked side streets that are there now. And it does, really what it gets to is it preserves the affordability of those homes and the marketplace space, which is ultimately the goal of this project. It's also very sustainable. Tukwila has a lot of public transportation options, and this encourages use of that. Next page. So this is the current site plan that we proposed with our development agreement. As Brandon mentioned, we've got 69 spaces on the site itself. That was the max we could fit in with the current site plan. But we've also added additional new parking spaces that do not exist now on 141st Street. There would be 26 new spaces there and 6 new spaces along 42nd if that were supported by the city. So this has a total of 101 new parking spaces. And as I said, the advantage, the reason we're proposing this plan is that this is what the maximum that we can do and still provide all of these benefits, the 100 new homes, the 15,000 square feet of affordable business space. Our goal is ultimately to get this asset into Tacoma, into Tukwila's community. Next page. This, summarizing, we can show you the parking study that we did, but we did an extensive parking study to analyze what the peak demand was at different times of the day and how we could make sure that we were providing the additional new parking spaces needed to meet the demand we're anticipating from this project. And we believe that 101 parking spaces would actually meet that demand. Next page.
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Spillover. Would that mean a spillover to the shag parking stalls or the library parking stalls?
No, we looked at the streets going out from, well, it might, but it probably not. There is still available street parking in many of the streets around this project, not even including around the library.
Can I also add, it's Toby here, the study tried to analyze if the peak times at Abu Bakr were similar to the peak times at Wadi Ajir, and they were not. So mathematically, the spillover actually, if given permission, which we understand Abu Bakr would give for that spillover, would go across the street, and vice versa. So we feel like we would also be solving the Friday prayer spillover into our site, because that's our low spot, our downtime.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Toby. Next page. Oh, sorry. Is there someone else that has a... Brandon, is that? No, you know, someone else has a hand up.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be leading this meeting, and I've been writing all these notes, so I'll take over. Thank you, Verna, for starting this out. So we have Tom with another question. And
I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay, and then we have a guest that's G. Who is that? With a hand up.
Well, good afternoon or good evening. This is Greg Sherlock, and I didn't mean to put my hand up. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, thank you, Greg. All right, so, all right, thank you.
So the next few slides are really talking about that new analysis that we did based on the staff recommendation that we look at if 141st Street were vacated, how much more parking we could include on that existing street. And this, you know, we found there's a couple of potential options. The amount of parking there varies from about 128 spaces up to 132, depending on the ratio of compact spaces to regular spaces. So I'll put that out there that this is a preliminary study at this point. But there were two different layout options primarily that we looked at. And I'll show you both of those options now to kind of give you an idea if we were to go down that track, what would it look like? I will say that while vacating that right-of-way and including that parking is an advantage in a lot of ways, it also does add overall to project costs and timeline because it isn't totally in our control. So we've had initial conversations with the adjoining site owner. They would have to go in with us to propose vacating this right-of-way, and obviously ultimately whether it's vacated would be up to the council. But we're happy to continue to pursue this line of thought. We would just encourage the council to be thinking in terms of keeping us moving forward so that we don't end up getting stuck for a year on this option. So with that said, let's look at what that might buy us, what that might give us. So next slide. So here's the first option. This would close off through traffic on what is now 141st. It gives us about 132 parking spaces because it allows us not only to utilize parking on 141st, but also to really better utilize what's our existing site to provide more parking. We are still showing some new parking spaces on 42nd with this option. So if you look at the option two stats, it's about 83 parking spaces on what is our existing land, and then it adds another 44 on 141st, and then 5 extra spots on 42nd. So that's a total of 132. If you take the 42nd Avenue South spots out of it, that's 127. Sorry, I had to do math in my head. Not good at that. Next option. So based on staff suggestions, we also looked at an option that preserves through traffic on 141st, though this would have to be reduced down to one lane traffic because that's how we can utilize parking there. So this would give us, again, 83 spots of parking on our existing site and about 43 on 141st, so we don't lose that many. But again, it depends on the ratio between compact and standard parking spaces. And then this shows about 4 parking spaces on 42nd Avenue. So you can see that with including South 141st, we can obviously provide more parking to this project. Next slide. So to wrap it up, really, Wattagier represents a really unique opportunity for Tukwila, and I think you all recognize that. We've talked about it before. To have owner-occupied housing in an average of 80% AMI is really a unique opportunity, and it's a benefit to the community. But to do that, we really do need to have some compromises and to make it economically feasible. So the economics of both structured and underground parking would make this affordable, not just in the home ownership, but also for those businesses that will be there. It does mean that, you know, if we were to go down other options like reducing the number of homes or reducing the size of homes, then we're not meeting the community's needs as well as we are with this current design. Vacating South 141st is an option, and we're willing to pursue that. But we would just request that we keep moving forward with some direction from council so that we can get some certainty on this project and get to the point where we can actually break ground as quickly as possible. So Forterra and Abu Bakr are working together to mitigate the parking impacts, both through this site plan, but also through our collaboration and partnership. And we'd like to collaborate with the city as well to make sure that we reach the best answer to Tukwila's need for this affordable business space and owner-occupied housing. And with that said, Toby, did you have something you wanted to say before I pass it to Mahan?
Yeah, thanks. We've really appreciated working with Brandon. It's moved the project. Brandon, you've moved it farther than it's gone in 4 years, which is fantastic. Our ask is to keep going because we feel like 141st Street vacation could take years. And we would love to go to the public hearing now on the off-cycle parking solution that Tom asked about without having vacated it. And if we're able to vacate it, that's even better, that we make use of that, but that we go ahead without making the delivery of these homes and business spaces dependent on that. Because we feel like that it could be years. We just don't know. It's a big variable. Thank you.
I would add one other thing, that what we could do while we're pursuing other options is we could still improve 141st to add this additional parking if it were reduced to a one-lane traffic. It would be on city property that way, but this parking is still possible. We could still add those improvements. And if that keeps things moving, if that's a site plan that the council can support, that's a way we can still move in dual track as we're pursuing this option. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to our partner, Mahad, to speak on behalf of Abu Bakr.
Mahad, you're on mute.
Oh, yes. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Right. First, I want to say thank you, Rebecca. That was a superb presentation. Well said. Everything I was about to say, you already said it. Thank you very much. My name is Mahad. I'm the executive director of Abu Bakr Islamic Center. This project, the benefit, the city knows it. We know it. The community is a great benefit to our community, not only for our working community, but the community at large in Tacoma. Every day I have more than 5 or 6 people approach me and ask me about the project status. And a lot of them are still having their stuff in storage. And you already know about the area, the housing issue in the area that's happening in Tacoma. That it would mitigate that a lot. And also it would help a lot for the small business people. We've been here this committee a few times, and I want to thank the committee for taking the time for all updates necessary. But the project, what it needs right now is, as Toby and Rebecca said, to move forward with the DA, because our funding attached to that, to move forward and break ground. We will go wherever guidance that's possible to achieve this goal, but we need the city to be with us, because at the end of the day, this will mitigate a lot of people that need housing, small business, mainly small business women, small business owners who are otherwise, you know, displaced, whether it's Tequila or SeaTac. And all those people that have been misplaced, some of them have space that they can operate at the moment. A lot of them, they still have their staff in storage. And it's been taking a very long time to move forward. The new year will be a good new year resolution for this project, hopefully. And we'll have something along the way. But the benefit, it will be a beneficial to all of us, the city, the community, and the city council members. And I have met with a lot of different city council members. Most of them are, the project is amazing. It needs those tweaking and we can move forward. But right now what we're mainly asking is about the DA, because to move forward, it requires for all of us to be in the same page and to have that DA signed. And thank you for all of you.
So, Councilor, the committee, I kind of want to just kind of conclude the presentations that you've heard tonight and suggest a possible next step. Staff still has some research and work it's doing to evaluate some of the options that have been prepared. But I do think that one of the next things that I would suggest, and it's in my memo, is that we do a presentation to the full city council in the new year about the project, so that the whole city council is up to speed on the project. Now, the development agreement would still come back to PCD. It would still go back, so we would just do a presentation to the whole council to see where they're at. And then, but PCD would still be in control of the development agreement. And when, once we start, if the council, once we get direction from the council, the draft would come back to PCD for their review and input.
Thank you, Brandon.
So now I'm sorry that I came in late. I had a personal commitment, but, hopefully have we had the roundabout of conversation? Yes. So I will start with Verna. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Hi guys. I really appreciate this update. I'm excited. Brandon, thank you for moving this along. I mean, that made me feel really good because I remember when we first started talking about this and, you know, I do realize that things like this do take time. I appreciate the additional community outreach. I think that was vitally important. I really think that we can get there and solve the parking issue. I, especially with the different things that you have presented, you know, with, you know, Abubakar and the spillover and engaging the people in the neighborhood. I do a couple things that I would suggest when this does go to the full council. I won't be there. I won't be a council member after the end of the month. I'm retiring. But I would suggest if you provide the full council with the full parking study. I think that the council is going to want to see that, because if I could point to any bit of, like, with council, it is the parking issue, because that's, you know, when Tukwila Village went up, let me tell you, I mean, parking is a huge issue, especially in that area and the spillage into the neighborhoods. But I think we can get there. And the other question that I would have, which you probably don't even have a clue about this yet, because you said, you know, it might take years to vacate the street and it could add, you know, additional money to the, I know you can't really tell, like, okay, to get that, how much would then that add to the price of the homes? Because everything that happens is going to add to the price of those homes. And the objective is to make it affordable and to get the people living and working, which that's number one. So, you know, that's just kind of my curiosity in the back of my head. But I think I am so excited about this project. I always have been. We just, you know, that's the one little thing, is that parking issue. But I really think, you know, with a development agreement, whatever we want to call it, we can get there, because that's how projects get done, right? And I've seen it over the years. So those are my only comments, and I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you, Verna. Tom,
I have a couple questions. Yes. My first question is for Mahad. One, it's nice to see you. The question I want to ask, so we just heard talk of how the parking at the mosque and the chute complement each other, but that's on current structure. I'm not holding you to this answer as far as committing, but are you planning on building a bigger building for the mosque that would take away some of that parking? Or no, the mosque will always be that size.
At the moment, we don't know what the future holds, but right now we're not planning anything at the moment.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know who would answer this next question, and that would be to the owner of the property on the other side of 141st. Have they weighed in?
So I did have a meeting with them last week, and Mahad has also spoken with them. It's Southgate Mobile Home Park is there on the other side of 141st. They don't currently have access from 141st. The only access that property has is kind of in the corner, more from TIB, kind of in to the property. We had a conversation. It's a possibility that they would, but they haven't agreed to do anything at this point. And
what would be our ideal ask? What would be the ideal ask of them?
Well, that they would cooperate with us in applying for a vacation of South 141st Street, but the cost, we don't know what the cost of that might be, what they might charge us for their interest in that, because we would need to get not only our half of that vacated property, but their half as well. And there's a cost associated that with that that goes to Tukwila. And Brandon can speak more to the process of vacating, but the ask of them would be that they basically, they would have to co-apply with us to vacate that street. And then we would have to negotiate some sort of agreement with them to purchase their interest in the half of the street that they would not then get at the end of the vacation.
Okay. That's good information to have when you go to the full COW.
And we will if we can. We've had, we're going to meet again in January, so I'll bring all the information I have, I will bring to that meeting.
And just so the committee's aware, how a street vacation, we don't do a lot of street vacations, but how it works is there's a state law specifies there's a survey required that the applicant has to do, and then it's typically vacated to one property owner takes their half, the other property takes their half. That's not always the case. It depends upon who gave the actual right-of-way for that street, but in most cases, it's going to be that half and half split. So that's what Rebecca's talking about, that, you know, even if we did the vacation there, unless Forterra can reach an agreement with the Southgate Mobile Home Park, they won't be able to obtain that north half of the right of way.
Okay. Maybe one last question then. How can you ensure that people going to the Shook don't take the library or the Shag parking? I'm looking at Google Earth right now. And, you know, it's really close. It would be really easy to circle through there, not see any parking, park at the Shag building, and walk down. So how does one ensure that that doesn't become a norm?
So, Councilor, member, I think it's always difficult for any property owner to control the behavior of a bad actor. And the concern that you raise is the same type of concern that could happen if someone who parks at Bartels and then decides to walk down. First, I think our concern, first, we need to make sure that we can address the parking demand in a reasonable way that balances all the issues. That's the first thing. And second, is communication with those other property owners. At the end of the day, another property owner can always tow someone off of their property if they park illegally. Now, property owners typically don't like to do that because they don't want to create that kind of, you know, bad relationship. But I really go back to, it's difficult for anyone to control one bad actor or multiple bad actors. What we need to do is really kind of focus on the development needs and whether there's enough parking for that. And hopefully that prevents that item, that issue from happening.
Thank you.
And remember also, one last thing, just we will have parking spaces that are there for the homes, but many people will be gone during the day with their cars. So that's additional parking spaces that are available then to Souk shoppers as a shared parking. So there's a way, when we talk about flexing that parking demand, that's another way to address that demand and during those peak times. That's what the parking study really looked at, was just when do you have everybody parking at the same time? And there's very little overlap where everybody's parking at the same time.
Not even on a weekend?
Well, that's when we hope that the shared parking arrangement with Abu Bakr, when we're outside of prayer time, will help us, as well as the street parking options. But that is when the highest peak demand, for sure. That's what you'll see in the parking study. It looks at the peak demand and when that occurs.
Are we also expecting the same people to leave the same area? People who are doing the business will also leave the apartment as well.
Okay, Tom, any other questions for now?
No, I'm done.
Okay, so Toby, did you have something? I saw you came on.
Yeah, no, I did. Thanks for seeing me. I was just, it just occurred to me, I feel like we want to avoid the lose-lose, which would be you both have to pay for the north side, right? So you end up with this additional charge loaded onto affordable housing, and you don't really marginally get that many more spaces, which is potentially what would happen if our feet are held to the fire by the neighboring owner, which we don't know they will or they won't, but given Western Washington's current real estate environment, I think we need to assume the worst. But we can hope for the best, which why our ask is to follow Brandon and go to the council and show the whole picture. And I think our ask there will be the same, which is let us go quickly and work diligently towards the vacation. And maybe, hopefully, it will all come together. But at a minimum, we know that people will get these homes and business spaces as quickly as they can. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Toby. Okay, so I'm going to go through this, and I've got little stickies that I've been writing on, and I don't know what order they're in, but so I want to go through some of the things that I was observing. I'm going to start back with recreation space and just go through this. I'm in support of where the staff is going with recreation space. I couldn't really tell if, so it's 220,000 square feet is required. But it says that they're proposing a 20,000. Is there an ask for a reduction in recreation space?
So when the memo was first written to go to PCD in August, we thought we might need to have a reduction on rec space. However, after we've worked with Forterra, we've realized that they might meet, that it looks like they're going to meet the recreation space requirement because our recreation space requirement gives you a credit for both inside and outdoor recreation space, and I believe our original review did not take into account the indoor recreation space. So it's a number that we're gonna verify, and we'll have it verified before we have the presentation go to the full council.
Okay, and then the exception in the design review with the setbacks, I am in support of that based on how this there's going to be nothing really on the south side of it because of the way the building is constructed, and there's just going to be a parking lot there. I was did want to make a comment about the picture that shows the building with the inset, and then it was talking about design review going through staff instead of going through the design review process. And I just noticed even just the offsetting of the windows is just a huge, really makes a huge difference on how this looks or how the spacing looks. And so I just want to make sure that is, I don't know if I want to have the council see it or what, but I think somebody other than staff should probably be going through it. Not that we don't, not they just get another set of eyes on it. It's not like staff doesn't know what they're doing. So that was another thought I had.
Councilor member, can I just interject
yes.
A small thing? So the reason, this project, the size of this project would require review by the Board of Architectural Review.
Oh, that's what I meant, BAR.
But yes. The reason why we were suggesting that it just be administrative is that by time, so first, there's a public process, which is that the city council will review the development agreement and discuss it and decide upon it in a public setting after doing a public hearing. One of the concerns sometimes that the BAR has is that if they're essentially they get their hands tied by the city council, sometimes there's concern that they have that, well, so we're reviewing this project, but the counselor already said that the modulation is going to go this way and this way and this way. And we kind of want to respect that, you know, the city councilor at the end of the day gets to make these final decisions and also to avoid a second public hearing and a second public process. And so that's all kind of related to time. What I would suggest is we don't need to have it by the January meeting, but when we start going through the development review or when we start doing the development agreement, we can get more input about how it looks. And so the counselor can make that decision based upon those recessing and it'll be part of the development agreement.
Okay, that sounds great. I just wanted to make sure that beyond staff, there's another set of eyes that looks at it. And so, yeah, that works for me. The multifamily tax exemption, I think, it's moving on its way. And so I think that's going to happen here, and I am in full support of that. So then the question comes down to parking, and we talked about this last time, so I have some ideas and some questions because I want this project to work, and so it's the how. One thing that is a piece of new information is the accessibility of using the mosque parking across the street, which I think is really a big deal that would be available. And so if the council could get some more information on that, of how many spaces that possibly could, you know, what the range of spaces is that are there and the times and things like that. I think so that could really, really make a difference. And it would be great to have some more information if you can get that. So another discussion that we had at the last meeting was about how many businesses were going to be in the area that is the retail area. And the more businesses there are, the more potential there are for cars. And so I think it was something like, I'm just going to say it was something like there could be 60 to 200 businesses there. Well, maybe it has to start out at 60 in order to just make sure that the parking is in control. And so that was another thing. Toby, do you remember us talking about that? Or Rebecca, do you remember us having that conversation? So, yes, you remember. Because, Toby, I think it was you that said, yes, maybe. So that would be another thing that would make it work, especially at first when we're trying to figure out all this parking and there isn't that parking at the street vacation. I would support the street still being there, so it would take a less time for it to be vacated. I think that was option three, or it was either option two or three. Definitely support that. Other comments were that they could utilize other parking in other parts of the neighborhood. I think it's really important that we maybe see a map of the streets, because it was like some are within 2 minutes of walking distance and some are four. So what does that mean? What streets are those on and what routes are you looking at? So that would be good. Let's see, still looking at my stickies here. So how many businesses?
Member Hogridge, I do want to say that I don't think at this point we're looking at anywhere close to 200 businesses. I think it'd be, you know, 50, 60 is kind of the max, and that's if everybody chose the smaller spaces.
Okay.
Because we're intending for these spaces to be sort of modular in the sense that the shop owner can choose the size they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 200, that would be a lot. I don't want it to raise more concerns in everyone's minds. We're not at that high. So.
Like cars everywhere, people trying to shop. I know I'm just ratcheting through this because I was taking all these notes, and I want this to be successful and to be a win-win, like not a lose-lose, right? You know, we don't want the neighbors going, what in the heck? You know, we want everybody to say, yay, we've got this place, and, you know, look at how it's enhanced our neighborhood. So another thing is you're talking about how people could park here or there. I take it you're not going to be able to have numbered parking spots for people's houses. I mean, for people, I'm calling them houses, their units. Because you're not even going to have enough to number them, right? So I move in, I buy a unit, I don't have a parking number, like at many places like you have. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay.
Not for everybody. We couldn't have numbered parking spaces for everybody.
Yeah, that would, and I don't know if you're going to make them buy the spots or how you're going to do that, but you can tell us later on. Because really what the goal here is to make parking work. You said encouraging business owners to live there. That's great, but there might be a ton of competition for these houses. So they might say, well, sure, I'd love to live there, but I can't get a unit. So I don't, you know, that's great, but I'm not really sure how that will work out.
Well, that was where we thought the housing preference for the business owners would actually encourage okay. that result, and also address the displacement that is specific to businesses.
Okay, and I missed that. So you legally can do a preference for people.
For 40 of the housing units can be offered first to small business owners.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. That's almost half of them. So, okay. That answers that. Let's see.
Can I add one thing to that?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, Rebecca just says it casually, but that was a 2.5-year effort with under the federal government to get that preference, right, to get the legal opinion that permits that. Because normally, obviously, FHA, you can't prefer anybody, right? You have to do it through affirmative marketing. This is a direct connection, displaced business, displaced home. And I think it's cool by itself, but it also influences the parking. It's a parking efficiency. Because you don't have commuters, right? So
wow, and congratulations for that. Because when we were talking about it, it's like, so how are you going to do that? You know, with all the rules that are in place. Okay, so I got the parking, the businesses, and these are things that would be great to have when we come back and, you know, for the council. I think it'd be really great to talk about, like, the 2-minute walk or the 4-minute walk where they're walking from, to have that information, to work with the mosque to see if they can give you a little bit more information about, like, so how many parking spots equivalent are we talking about? Because I think that's a big breakthrough right there, to be able to park across the street, and we have the crosswalks. So that would be really good. And then the vacation of the street, Brandon, it would be good to know. Well, I'll just talk to you offline. I've got to think about what would be good to know about that. Like, what are we looking at for timeline? I'm thinking just a through street, a one-way. Maybe that gets things done faster, even though maybe you lose one parking spot or something, or maybe you gain it. I can't remember. So yeah.
Councilmember, the one thing I want to just comment on is one of the things that Rebecca said was the design of the street and the vacation are actually two separate things, in the sense okay. that we can design a street that has on-street parking and it's just right-of-way. And the reason why we would vacate it is because our code does not let a property owner get credit for parking that's in the right-of-way.
Right.
So how I would look at this question is, first, how many parking stalls do we think the project needs, and what ways do we want to mitigate any possible impacts? So the development agreement should include language like, if X happens, this is what Y is going to be. You know, kind of some if we start seeing off-site parking impacts. And if we think that we need that additional parking on South 141st, Forterra can go ahead and install that. Now, the issue with it being public is that anyone can park on it, and Forterra cannot control who parks on that. There's things that we can do from a city standpoint, and that we can limit the time. We could look at a parking permit system, but if it's public parking, anyone can park there. So we can do the vacation at a later date. The vacation actually is not that difficult of a process for us to do. The issue is just Forterra getting agreement with that north parking, north property owner. That's the biggest thing that could take time.
So you're thinking about creating the developer's agreement so that it opens up those options and yet still allows them to move ahead with the building. You don't want, like they were saying, we don't want to get stymied there. So you can you create a DA that'll allow it to be flexible?
Yes. At the end of the day, though, the decision about the parking is going to be with the city council. And so are you comfortable with a development agreement in which there is less parking on site than what's required by code? And, you know, we'll look at alternatives and ways to address you know, impacts. I would say that we can never guarantee success. We can never guarantee that there won't be impacts that are difficult to address. This is a unique project that has trade-offs, right? Affordable housing ownership is a huge trade-off for the city. So what I think what would be great is in January, late January, we check in with the counselor. We get the temperature from the whole counselor as a whole. We hear from all seven members and see where they're at, and then we can start checking in about how we would address some of these issues.
Okay, so I'll just say in conclusion, I don't need to spend any more time on this, and thank you for that, is that the more information, the more specific you can be about these particular ideas about parking, such as the number of stalls at Abu Bakr, or how far, what neighborhoods you're talking about when you say they could park in underparked side streets. I wrote that down. What does an underparked side street mean, and how long and where is that? The better we're going to be able to make a decision. So I'll just leave it with that. And you can ask me again which things I'm thinking I need more. Staff can just get back to me and say which ones I was talking about. Was, underparked side streets, 4 to 5 minute walks, parking across the street. How much is that going to bring to us as far as parking for people that are living in and shopping in this building? So. Those are my comments. Does anybody, Verna or Tom, do you have anything else? And Tobias is back on again, Toby.
Sorry, I can't help it. It's getting later in the evening. Data. That's what I'm hearing. So we'll get that for you.
Thank you. All right.
Can I just say one last thing? I'm in favor of the project, but I think we've got some little obstacles, and I look forward to hearing solutions and options for those obstacles.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting, and it's like a trailblazing project, right? With the modular and the type of materials being used. Maha, did you have something to say too? I see you're back on.
First, I want to make a comment. I want to say, Tom, it's good to see you again. Earlier, I was thinking about the question, not the formality, so, and I'm just glad to see all of you. The only thing that I want to say is we're always thinking about affordability. And I want to thank Brandon for his effort. The trade-off is what is there, affordability. We could come and plan, we can dig the ground and build 100 parkings, but the question is, would it be affordable? And the people that we have in this area, they need affordability. And that itself will contrast the city, what it stands for. And I want to thank all of you for supporting the project. And I can see the excitement. All the obstacles, if we put our mind together, we can achieve the goal. So I want to thank the staff, the city councils, and everyone. And I never met any city council that didn't like the project. That's a positive thing. So thank you all.
Well, thank you. All right. So are we able to move on? And we will see you all at the beginning of next year, at the time it comes back to the full council. And if, I don't know if I have an ask. Do I have an ask to move this to the council?
It was just for discussion.
Discussion only.
It was just for discussion. Okay. All right. Thank you.
But I do want to, staff is recommending that we take it, we do a briefing to the full council next year, and we'll work with the clerk's office. And the counselor analyst for a date. Things are usually in flux kind of in January, but we'll get that as soon as we can to the full council.
Thank you. So do we have consensus for that? Looks like we did already. Okay.
I just want to add one thing, though. We just have to be mindful about the time, because the project has been working more than 5 years now, and people who are really in need are depending on you to move along the project. So to move forward, as the staff suggests, that would be an ideal.
Thank you for that.
And I'll just say really quick, even though I won't be a council member, Toby and Rebecca Mahad, reach out to me if you need my assistance or help. because it's still my city and I love it and I love this project. So I'm available to you if you need me. Thanks.
Yes. I just want you to imagine all your funding are dependent on, is attached to the DA. So that.
Okay. All right. So thank you again. So it is 6:40 and we've got our work plan to go through. It's pretty straightforward. So I think Laurel is going to bring this up and we'll just go through it and see where we're at.
Thank you, Councilmember Hogarty. Page 57 in your packet, I included the work plan updated to the best of my ability. It's just included for reference really to show you, give you an opportunity to reflect on everything you've worked on over the year and an opportunity for me to note when things are maybe going to carry over to next year. It helps me populate next year's work plan. And so it's an opportunity just to look at it together one last time and ask any questions.
All right, we'll start with Tom.
I have one question. What is the ongoing piece to the economic development plan?
Well, the City Council recently directed some ARPA funding toward the economic development plan, but Mr. Speck is on the meeting, I see, and prepared to take that, so thank you.
And I apologize. I was deeply watching the last moment on Wattagear, and I haven't. So what line are we looking at there? The question, what line in the report?
On page 57, line 24, it's ongoing, the economic development plan.
I meant primarily that would be carrying forward to next year as staff develops, you know.
Is there a timeline or a time frame to submit a final economic development plan?
So first off, as you may remember, we had no funding for this project in 2020 or 2021. So prior to that, we were using funding just to fund a part-time intern, basically, in 2019. So the one effort that we did this year that the council's looking at is approving using ARPA funds for the economic development plan, which would become available next year. So that's a really big step. And so to answer your question more directly, my goal is to have the plan done and finished by the end of next year, 2022. But we have not done work on the plan this calendar year of 2021.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Right, thank you. Verna, any questions about the plan? Okay. And this is one of many thank yous to Verna. I want to say thank you. This is your last committee meeting here. I know you have one more next week. But thank you for your time and how, and like I said, this is one time, maybe the first time I'm going to say thank you so much. And this is a time of lasts and a time of firsts, right, for you. So, yeah, thanks. And I don't have any questions that I can't just ask staff about. Thank you, Laurel, for this. So, and another thank you to both of you for a great year on the planning development and also to staff for staffing. Do we have anything else?
Kathy, thank you for leadership here. I think we had a good committee and a good year, which would be certainly in part your leadership. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so I'll see you in a few minutes.